Washington, representing Jessica and Anna Vilches, the plaintiff's appellants in this case. Jessica Vilches, when she graduated from the Homewood Flossmoor High School in year 2000, had been the runner-up to the state champion in the 7-meter diving event. She had been recruited by several colleges and universities across the country, and she had initially agreed with her parents to consider two colleges, first Northern Illinois University or the Air Force Institute, Air Force Academy in Colorado. Subsequent to this, because Jessica's coach had perhaps shared videotapes of her performance with Coach Todd Spahn at Miami University, she was recruited by Miami University and Coach Todd Spahn. This recruitment basically consisted of 4 telephone calls from Todd Spahn to Jessica.
I'm not sure why any of this matters, because the recruitment is not the source of the injury of which the plaintiff complains. Unless there's general jurisdiction in Illinois, which you disclaim, I don't see why it matters.
I think it matters, Your Honor.
Either general jurisdiction or jurisdiction related to the tort being complained of, and you don't seem to be arguing either one.
I am not arguing either one. I think in this sense...
Then I don't understand what's left, because those are the only two theories under Illinois law.
Well, I disagree with you, Your Honor. I think in the Bernberg case, it's indicated that in matters where jurisdiction is a sole issue, other evidence in the file, such as affidavits.
Look, take a simple example. Exxon Corporation, which has its headquarters, say, in Texas, hires somebody in Illinois, right? Sends a recruiter to Illinois, hires the person in Illinois. They go to work for them in Houston. And in Houston, the person slips on a slippery floor and becomes injured. Can a lawsuit be filed in Illinois on the ground that Exxon recruited this person in Illinois?
Well, without attempting to answer your hypothetical question, I think in this instance, Jessica Vilches was recruited as an athlete to
die. I asked a question. Can a lawsuit be filed in that circumstance?
I'd have to take it under advisement, John. I haven't thought of those issues, but I have thought about
that. That issue is, however, pretty much the same as this issue. Is there any case that you would rely on in Illinois for the proposition that recruitment or negotiating a contract in Illinois thereafter allows Illinois courts to decide all torts that may ensue as a result of future contact?
I don't think there's any case that would decide it to that would allow Illinois courts to decide all torts. I think the question here is whether or not this issue arises out of the conduct of the school. I think it shows that it does. She was recruited to participate in athletics, and she was injured while doing that in a Miami pool while on the varsity team. But the issue before the court this morning is not the source of her injury, but it's whether or not this court had personal jurisdiction, and did Miami transact business in this court. I think in the Bernberg case, it's shown that affidavits and other things can be considered in determining the limited issue of jurisdiction.
Well, the problem is none of the cases that you cited support your position in this kind of circumstance, where it was just a recruitment here. And the only thing that happened here, there were a few phone calls placed here, an email here. And the cases that you cited, none of them are similar to what we're talking about.
Well,
here.
More than that happened, Your Honor, there was a tortuous act. There were two things. We think that normally when the Illinois long-arm statute is used as a basis for giving Illinois courts personal jurisdiction, there's an agent sent here. And in this case, we have not alleged that any agent from Miami of Ohio came to Illinois to recruit Jessica Wilchez. We do, however, that allege that the alternate items, the alternate elements of this exist, and we think that those elements are three, that all contacts were made by Miami to Jessica Wilchez, that the contract was made in Illinois.
All these things are true. The question is, what has, as far as I can see, nothing to do with the tort that then happens. And let me try a different way to put my question. What is your best Illinois case for the proposition that contractual arrangements struck between an Illinois and an out-of-state entity permit an Illinois court to hear a claim based on a tort that occurs out of state between the same two parties?
I'd have to go back to Bernberg, Bergiana, because it talks
You'd
about
go back
this.
To what?
Bernberg versus Milk Street, I believe it is. Well, where it indicates that where jurisdiction is, personal jurisdiction is concerned, other items can be. Other matters such as affidavits and statements and contracts.
This is not a question of how something is proved. It's a question of the legal significance of what is proved.
Well, I think what I'm saying is that personal jurisdiction is the issue here today under the Illinois long arm.
Bernberg is not an Illinois case at all.
It's not?
It's decided by the Northern District of Illinois.
Well.
What is your, in fact, your brief cites only one Illinois case. It's Gordon against Ho, which I did look at. And
well, it also cites Burgess versus Michigan State, Your Honor.
That's from the Washington Appellate Court.
Right.
Well,
okay. So we agree that that's not Illinois.
Yes, we agree.
Good. All right.
My suggestion to the court this morning is that personal jurisdiction exists because Miami University of Ohio did business in the state. They committed a tortious act when they recruited an underage student without permission of the parents. These things
that would be a different tort to recruit her without the permission of the parents. The injury occurred out of Illinois. That's what this is about. That's what your lawsuit is about.
My suggestion
the injury is that she sustained when she was on the team.
My suggestion is that because they committed a tortious act in Illinois, similar to the Bernberg, the Northern District Illinois case, where there was representations to people in Illinois by letter. In this case, the representation was by phone. She was promised a four-year scholarship. This was reiterated to Jessica Wilchez and her mother. This four-year scholarship was not forthcoming. I think that the affidavits filed by the coach and filed by the plaintiff appellants show this. Now, the injury is her injury, which occurred while she was diving. But I believe that personal jurisdiction can be established using other items, and show, and these other items can be affidavits, which we have presented here from the Wilchezes and from the coach. And it shows that there were promises made which represent a tortuous act by Coach Todd Spahn.
Are you saying that she breached they made a contract with her to have a four-year scholarship and they breached that?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Your Honor, that when he called her without the permission of her parents and she agreed to come to Miami University to take a four-year scholarship. Now, there's been arguments that he didn't have a scholarship, that he didn't offer her an athletic scholarship. She never said he offered her an athletic scholarship. And when her mother accompanied her to Miami University, he explained that he had no athletic scholarship. He explained that he had no scholarship at all. But he promised both of them, as evidenced by their affidavits, that they need not worry about room, board, and tuition. And in the first year, while she was eligible to dive, room, board, and tuition was provided.
Is it, was that in, was this claim about the promise on the scholarship, was that in your complaint?
It certainly was. And it was in my brief too. It certainly was promised that that was the basis for jurisdiction here, that he had committed a tortuous act coming in here, and we think that Illinois has a compelling interest in protecting underage people and parents who may not be as well versed in this kind of thing
as
others.
Thank you, counsel.
Yes. Pardon me?
Thank you, counsel. Your argument is concluded.
Thank you. Your red light is on.
Thank you.
Mr. Winchester.
May it please the court. Your Honors, I'd like to start by correcting what I think was a mischaracterization of the complaint. There is no claim in this complaint having anything to do with scholarship monies. That was an argument that plaintiffs made in response to our motion to dismiss the case for a lack of personal jurisdiction. This case is solely about the personal injury that Jessica Bilstead says she sustained in October of 2000 during a diving practice in Ohio. The only contact with this state, as the court has recognized, we're talking about four phone calls and one half-page form letter, which we've included in our supplemental appendix for the court, just inviting Jessica and her mother to come for a campus visit. Neither Coach Spahn nor anybody else ever stepped foot in this state to recruit Jessica Vilgis. They did not visit her in her home. They didn't come watch her practice. None of those things occurred. And there is no Illinois case that would find jurisdiction on this sort of basis. The Bernberg case that Mr. Washington referred to is a case where the court was applying the tort provision of the Illinois long-arm statute. That was some sort of a dispute about a fraudulent stock issue or something. And the actual letter that was sent into the state of Illinois,
it's completely irrelevant.
Sure, was the tort.
District court's views about the meaning of state law don't bind us. We try to follow what the state court says. So what is important to us is what the Illinois courts have said about their own long-arm statute.
Certainly, Your Honor, and there is no Illinois case that we have found, and certainly none cited by plaintiffs, that would allow jurisdiction on this sort of basis.
The only Illinois case the plaintiff cites is one finding no jurisdiction.
That's correct. That's correct, Your Honor.
And the case I would have cited had I been briefing the case for the defendant, actually. Are there any cases that you know of that actually talk about this kind of problem, where there's a contract between somebody from Illinois and somebody from out of state, followed by a tort out of state?
No.
You'd think this is not an uncommon problem. In my hypothetical about moving, going to college in another state, it was perfectly ordinary, one would think. There ought to be some Illinois cases about it.
Well, Judge, we certainly have never found a case that has the situation here where we're talking about the idea is contractual. We don't even allege that it goes that far, that there was any sort of contract here for anything. These are a few phone calls done in recruitment. And there's certainly nothing that suggests in any Illinois law or any law we've found anywhere else that a couple of phone calls to recruit someone automatically subject the recruiter to jurisdiction somewhere else.
Things become much more difficult if you say we're looking for cases involving a couple of phone calls and diving board injuries. You'd have a much bigger chance finding the case if you're looking at contract tort as the big categories.
Your Honor, and obviously we're looking for the closest cases, but in direct answer to your question, we know of no case under Illinois law where an Illinois court has suggested it would be appropriate to take contact with this state that have to do with a contractual arrangement and then to use those to ground jurisdiction for a tort, an unrelated tort, that happens out of state months later. We know of no case that would allow that, and we think actually that would be a violation of constitutional due process, much less state issues.
Out of curiosity, though, is there any possible relationship to the coverage for this tort based on tied to the contract? I frankly am just surmising, but suppose she gets injured, and in some schools that happens, you lose your scholarship. Not nice, but that's the way they do it. And then there was no coverage for her injury because she wasn't, I don't know why. I'm just wondering if there is there something that we're missing here or that they didn't argue maybe that puts that, somehow threads these together, that but for the breach of contract, she would have been better treated as a result of her injury.
I'm certainly not aware of one, Your Honor, and I think it's important to note in this case, we're not talking about a situation where you have an athlete on an athletic scholarship who loses their scholarship subsequent to an injury. It might be closer if we were there. I don't know. I'd have to look at it. I still think, actually, as a constitutional matter, that wouldn't ground due process or wouldn't meet due process to bring people here. This case, however, is one where it is undisputed. She never got athletically related aid. We introduced into the record before the district court her statements of where her funds came from. Not a dime ever came from athletically related aid. She continued to receive aid from the university from the same variety of sources where she received it in her first year in every year subsequent to that. Even
she
after
got
she
more
left
in her
the
first
team.
Year than she did after she got hurt, right?
Your Honor, actually, if you go back and look at them, yes, the aid available to her was less in her second year. It actually went up in her third year. And the award notification in the second year was made at a time when Jessica Vilches was still on the team. So this was not something that happened where her award was somehow reduced after she quit the team. She didn't quit until December of 2001. Her award notice for the 2001 school year was put into place far earlier, and that had the lower numbers. Her numbers actually went back up in terms of her award in the third year when she no longer had anything to do with the case. And those figures are in the record. So we certainly don't believe there's any kind of connection here that could even be argued between even presuming that there was some negotiation of a contract in this state for the provision of scholarship funds that has anything to do with the later personal injury that's the sole basis of this case. There's nothing else from the court. That's all I have.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case is taken under advisement. No, your time has expired. We'll hear argument now in the case of United States against Burnett.